Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Welcome to another episode of Breast Show Radio. This is Brenda Pierce, one of the co-host team of this dynamic podcast, and I am here with an amazing message for you. Cancer is preventable, and you are able to make some choices, and we have some great news to share with you tonight with our fantastic guest, Reverend Lorraine Cohen, who is an internationally recognized heart coaching, inner grace healing, and higher light channeling wonderful, wonderful illuminary. And added to that, she also has some amazing information for you as she's a fierce advocate for her clients' transformation and uses spiritual, intuitive, and healing gifts to help support women on their journey. And we know that it's not just women anymore. It's men, it's children, it's teens. All across the board, people are being touched with breast cancer, breast diagnoses, breast stuff. And we're here tonight to help to dispel that myth that it is a death sentence. It is a life sentence. And we are here to help make your life much brighter and beautiful because of that diagnosis. It does not have to be what we fear. So welcome to the show, Lorraine.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, Brenda. And I love that that rework of the Happy Song by Fernell? I know I'm going to say his name wrong. Anyway, that was a delight to hear that being reworked, so thank you for starting the show with that.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, it is amazing. We need to put some happy into this because, you know, so many people get saddled with this whole conundrum about breast cancer, and they become, they play into the fear of it, and I know that you have an amazing story to share with people about your own breast cancer journey, and you're still here. So I'd love if you could just kind of acquaint the audience with what your journey is all about.
Well, thank you so much. You know, if somebody had said to me 5 years ago that I would be dealing with breast cancer, I would have been quite surprised. And as you know, I have actually had that diagnosis 4 times. And at the, you know, getting it the first time was somewhat startling for me. And what was different, as it is for a lot of people, is I didn't have a lot of emotional reaction. I heard the news, but I didn't feel fear. And I'm very blessed to have been able to receive the information in that way. It was more of just standing in a place of observation and then just tuning in to what my next steps needed to be. And there were so many blessings that happened as a result of that. I was in between having medical coverage. Whenever I say that, I hear people go, oh, my God. And, of course, there was it was really extraordinary because the doctor that I was working with at the time was able to get me into a program so that all of my medical expenses were completely taken care of. And the reason why I like to even mention something like this is that you know that I'm a very spiritual person. And when we find ourselves in situations like this, it's amazing to be able to see all of the blessings and the support that can rally to you that you may not even know that is available, all of the help, people showing up and programs that are available to give you the things that you need, information, incredible information, so that you can make an informed decision. Because when you're facing a diagnosis like that, it's not unusual to feel pressured by doing what the norm is suggesting you to do. And some of that I did do. I did have a lumpectomy. Knowing what I know now, I would have made a different decision. But I also know that every experience has a nugget for our own growth and our evolution. So I did go forward with a lumpectomy the first time. I opted not to do chemo and radiation because it was not right for me. And I really sat with that decision to be sure that I wasn't just standing in a place of rebellion. It really felt that if I did that according to what I truly believed, because your belief affects what your result is going to be, that if I went forward with that I would die. And I never, ever had a thought that if I refused during doing the chemo and radiation that I would die. In fact, I never felt, even with that diagnosis, that I was given a death sentence. It was curious for me. It probably sounds very strange. And then about a year later, during my mammogram, they discovered a little bit more that was close to the original incision. And for anybody that has seen the Truth About Cancer series, it was eye-opening to hear that it's not unusual, you know, when we experience things like this, and we asked the doctor, did you get it all? And what I discovered is that doctors can't really know that they got it all, because there's so much more involved with dealing with any kind of a diagnosis like cancer. And so I opted again not to do anything medically, and 6 months later I had cleared it because of the internal work that I do, the supplements that I was taking, the changes that I had made. I had made some but not a lot of changes. And then last year, it's this year. In February of this year, I noticed that there was a tumor that was growing in my underarm. I tried to ignore it, and it started getting bigger. And lo and behold, there was cancer cells again in there, and I opted again to do the lumpectomy. Mm-hmm. And then within a very short period of time, I'm actually dealing with another tumor right now. I have not gone back to see my surgeon, because he made it very clear that if I did not do chemo and radiation, that it would absolutely come back, which is an awful thing for any surgeon to say. And when I received that information, I listened. I did my best to cancel it. I'm sure some of it got into my consciousness. But I also feel very confident in the choices that I've made, and I've gotten much more serious about the changes that I've made in terms of how I'm eating, how I'm approaching things, again, the internal healing, which is so, so, so important. Different supplements that I've started to take, like one of the ones that I talk so much about is by Mother Earth Labs, and it's called pH Balancer. It's like liquid gold in a bottle.
Oh, wow.
I love this product so much, and it was one of the first products that I started taking when I had gotten the diagnosis again that was considered to be stage 4 because of the location. And I have just been getting very serious about looking at what I'm choosing to do that feels right for me. And I am absolutely confident that I will clear this by pursuing this in a more natural way. I don't have my head in the sand. I am definitely engaged in conversations with people that I trust and respect. I have amazing resources at my fingertips. And I just want to make one other comment about the importance of fulvic and humic acid. And one of the reasons why I chose that product is that you can be taking a lot of different supplements that are not actually getting into the cells of the body. And so fulvic and humic acid I consider to be one of the foundational resources to be using, whether you're you're dealing with a diagnosis or not. And so for anybody listening, if you're not taking something like pH Balancer, which I highly recommend from Mother Earth Labs, I have partnered with them, and I will never be without that because I know that whatever it is that I am doing is supporting my body in becoming stronger and stronger and dispelling the remnants of this tumor that's active in my body right now. I know I've said an awful lot to your initial question.
Well, it was a loaded question, so your answer was spot on, and thank you for sharing so deeply. You know, it's true that, you know, when you get people who are supposedly the experts and they're telling you, if you don't do what I say and do, shame on you, and you'll be looking at this reoccurrence, it can't help but do a real mind frick on a person. Because, you know, but the thing is, though, health and our health and our bodies, it's not a one-size-fits-all. And so, you know, when you're in that place of compromise and you are being lambasted for just, you know, making your own mind up, you know, this whole trip really is a mind frick. And it can take you right out of the game if you let the gatekeepers do that to you. It is totally a mind, body, and spirit collaboration.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And as such,
yeah.
You know, finding what works for you and now and taking that forward is a really brave, bold step because, you know, you don't want to be a statistic, right, Lorraine?
I have probably rebelled against being a statistic my entire life. What's incredible now is that we now have the internet, which is impossible to shut down. So as information comes out, it becomes viral, as opposed to 10, 20, 30 years ago when we didn't have that
mm-hmm.
to the capacity that we have now, where certain information could have been and was repressed for a lot of different reasons, because there's a lot of money involved, and when money is involved, people don't always show up in the highest of integrity. We understand this. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's unfortunately still part of what's active in human nature. So it behooves us in standing up and taking charge of our lives that we have to become our own advocates. And that means that we have to be willing to challenge the norm and understand that there may be some things that is being withheld, not necessarily purposefully. It could be for a lack of information, a lack of ignorance. So it's up to us to do the research on anything that's important so that when we're making these life-changing kinds of decisions, we are coming from a place of clarity as opposed to a place of pressure or shaming or fear, and realizing that just because people are in an authority position, it does not mean that they are meant to be authorities for us. Because as you say, we are not one size fits all. But for some people, when you hear a diagnosis like that, it's not unusual to just want somebody that you think knows better than you to tell you what to do. And since everybody's doing that, there's this assumption that this must be the way. But more and more people are starting to step forward and acknowledge that they've gone a different route because it's been right for them. If you believe that cancer, if you get a diagnosis and the traditional protocol is absolutely going to be what's right for you, then you will likely have a good result because
mm-hmm.
you believe it. We're very powerful. But if you believe that something will harm you, then I believe that we have the ability to create that result. So whatever decision a person makes, it has to be in alignment with their belief systems and in alignment with what feels right for them. And sometimes that means that the people in your life don't agree. So getting the support to be a Lone Ranger, if that's what you need to do, becomes really important. Otherwise, the pressure from other people will cause people to go back on what's right for them just, you know, just to appease other people.
Yeah.
And I don't want to look back on my life and say, I wish I had known more. I wish I had done this differently. I mean, we can all have a series of regrets. And like I said, looking back now to what I know now, I would have made some different choices. But I also know that I made the best choice that I could based on the information I had at the time, and that was right for me. And
yeah.
And that has to be okay. So
yeah.
There are so many incredible options, and our bodies are brilliant in our ability to heal ourselves. I mean, I don't have this at my fingertips, but there's, you know, information about our parts of our bodies that regenerate themselves. And when you're giving your body what it needs, when you're removing the stressors, when you're putting good nutrition in your body, when you're giving yourself the supplements that the body needs, it has within every cell an intelligence that is capable of doing more than even beyond our comprehension. And this is, again, part of this education piece of understanding that we are so much more than we realize, that we have the capacity to do so much more, that we're so much more powerful than we realize. And we're learning about that now the more aware and the more conscious we become. That's exciting to me. Isn't that exciting to you?
Absolutely. And you know, like, you know, every day is this aha moment. This is not airy-fairy stuff by any means, Lorraine. This is really hardcore, true facts that people are awakening up. The light bulbs are going off all over the place. And miracles are happening, what we perceive as miracles. But they're actually in our innate intelligence, within our intracellular you know, brains that we have within our body. We don't have to tell our heart to beat, you know, but it beats. And as such, we don't have to tell our body to heal itself because it can. Like, I mean, this whole industry is not a new thing. Like Louise Hay wrote the book, You Can Heal Yourself, and that has had a phenomenal impact on millions and millions of people. But we don't have to wait for somebody else to tell us that. We can do this. But you're right, the environment has to be perfect. So if we are going along doing our day-to-day thing and living as, you know, the common consciousness would like us to live, then we live in a very broken environment, a very sugar-filled, acidic environment. And that whole conundrum just does not work. We see diabetes, obesity, cancers feed on sugar. So, you know, it is very, very much a going back and a relearning, a reprogramming that we need to do and be active about it in order to make it happen. You know, so I appreciate the fact that you share this, you know, so generously from your heart, from your own experience. And you are, you know, living. And the other piece to it, too, is not to blame or shame yourself. I think that that is really, really powerful. Because once we start to do that, we immediately constrict ourselves down into a smaller package, and we're not that at all, right?
Absolutely. One of the things that became very clear as I was making different decisions, and I really sat with each of them as I gave up sugar, and let me tell you, I was really eating a lot of sugar, chocolate. And I've discovered other things that I really enjoy. In fact, I have discovered food in ways I've never discovered it before, and it actually became fun. I had to move it out of, oh, I have to give this up, to I'm opening up a whole new adventure with food because I enjoy food. And how you approach anything, I really wrapped it around this idea of I'm making these choices out of self-love. So it wasn't I have cancer, so therefore I have to do all of this. And I never identified with it. I have a cancer diagnosis. And for me, and this is nothing against anybody who identifies themselves as a survivor or a conqueror, I never and still don't this is not a battle for me, Brenda. It's not a battle at all. Because to actually stand in that place, Brenda, of looking at this as a battle would be a battle against myself, and I'm not willing to do that.
Yeah.
It's not something that's happening to me out there. I feel that this has come at a time that has been brewing for decades. In going through my own process, I discovered a lot of repressed anger and rage and resentment against myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think of that we are energy beings, and that when we are not releasing all of these feelings, unforgiveness, and the impact that it has on the autoimmune system, and it begins to suppress our natural abilities to rebound quickly. And when something is not being released, if you think about it, it festers like a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
It made sense logically when I started looking at some of the things, and I've been on an inner journey for a long time. I've done a lot of inner healing, but I started to access some stuff that I was aware of that I hadn't realized the depth to which I was still carrying it. And I truly believe that there was a direct correlation to my bringing cancer forward in my life because of a lot of these emotional weights and intensities and charges that I was holding in my body that had no way to be released other than in the form of dis-ease. And I say that not as a victim. I'm grateful to have been able to discover that so that I could do some work with that. And that is partly why I was able to pretty much clear cancer the first two times. Now, you might say, well, so how come it's back? I also believe that things come because there's some unfinished business. I can't tell you exactly what all that unfinished business is, but I can tell you that I'm up to it.
Right.
And I will get to the heart of it, and I also feel intuitively that I have already turned a corner in what I am doing from a mind-body-spirit perspective, and that I will be cancer-free very shortly. I have no doubt
about it. Wow, wow, wow. That's a true alchemical experience. When you can take something very, very negative, very, very dark, which is perceived by many to be that, and so it is like an elephant sitting in the middle of the room or a tumor in the middle of your breast, and be able to take that and make that alchemical switch so that it does not have to be the monster that we make it to be, because when we have these fears, it's false evidence appearing real. And just really taking that, and I applaud you. I think this is a fabulous turn of events for you.
Well, you know, thank you so much. And it's been interesting because as a result of coming through this experience, on one level, the place that I stand is that I am whole, I am transformed, I am in perfect health now. That is one of my mantras, because I also believe that when we truly embrace the essence of who we are, which is this divine energy that lives inside of us, and how could anything divine that we truly are be ill in any way? It's simply not possible. So I'm really not standing in that space of ownership of saying I am this or that as it relates to cancer. I see it as something physical that's in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that who I truly am is not that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I am navigating this period and taking the gifts and the messages that it brings to me, taking responsibility for the choices that I am making with everything that I've shared thus far, I don't feel an attachment to keeping it beyond the point that it is no longer serving me. And this also becomes a lifestyle change that I will continue to embrace. It's not that I'm doing this for a period of time. I'm not juicing for a period of time. I'm not eating more raw for a period of time. I have, you know, I'm not doing a colon hydrotherapy or doing any of the supplements. This is a life change for me out of self-love that has been coming for a period of time. I'm using this experience as an opportunity to make that change. and I'm making that choice because I love myself and because I'm just getting started.
Amen to that. My gosh.
Thank you.
Yes. And it's true, because sometimes when you do find people who are going through the journey and they attach themselves to, this is my chemo day, this is my, oh, you know, I've got to go get this and I've got the wig and all this. And that can be part of it. But, yeah, you can notice that you can choose to identify very fully with it, or you can choose to identify completely another way from it. And as such, you are definitely a way shower in terms of, you know, how this can be more. It can be different. It doesn't have to grab hold of you. It doesn't have to take you down. It doesn't have to control you in any way, shape, or form. And as such, you've developed a coaching program, right, for helping people who are not identifying with this. They know that this is not real. They want to do something different, and they want a different way. So tell us a little bit about what you can offer.
Well, what I've been really looking at very clearly is that I have been doing coaching for a period of time, and the coaching that I am known for is the emotional healing work and also helping people to connect more with their own spirit so that they're living from a more conscious and a more awakened place to be making the choices of creating an incredible life, which is what we're here to experience. But I also feel, just in my own journey, that when people get a diagnosis like this, that it can feel like you're blindsided. So I've added cancer coaching and healing, and what that means is to be able to sit down with somebody who has questions, to help them to arrive at what might be the course of action for themselves. Not that I'm not a medical person, I'm not developing protocols, but to help you to assess what it is that's important so that you can make good decisions for yourself and to support you with the emotional stuff that comes out, you know, as a result of being in this kind of a crazy upside-down space. Fears come up, unforgiveness. All of the emotional healing work is what I'm known for, what I've done for the last 30 years, and I'm excellent at. I will say that with all humility, I have been inside and outside and upside down in all of that, and I've worked with thousands of people to deal with and to heal and release all of the repressed emotions. So the healing work is definitely a part of what I offer people who are dealing with, you know, with this diagnosis, as well as to help you to get to a place so that you can make the best decision for you that you can live with rather than making a decision that you might die with.
Right. I think that's fantastic, because sometimes when we talk about our illness, our diagnosis, our condition, our journey, with people who are too close to us, there's too much of a bias, there's too much of an attachment to the outcome. So
yeah,
for people who would really like to have this opportunity to discuss wholeheartedly, whole bodily, whole soulfully with somebody who's gone through the journey and can be, you know, that safe place to let it all out, I think that's fabulous.
And to also have an unbiased partner, somebody that you can go to, as you say, to be able to discuss some of the things that are coming up, even if you choose to go through whatever you choose to walk through, and it may be that the choice can be to go with chemo and radiation, if that's right, or to do a combination of that and a natural path, to be able to have somebody who can listen, who can walk with you so that you have the kind of support that you need as you're turning some of these corners. Because, like you said, sometimes people are so close that they can't get out of the way and be objective at times when people need help the most because they get scared for their own mortality.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So they can go to LorraineCohen.com, correct?
Yes.
And that's LorraineCohen.com. And really take a look at this and really know that Lorraine is really putting her heart and her breasts on the line here to help people, you know, to conquer the corner, you know, and really, really, you know, serve us well. I mean, we only have one kick at can here. So to make it the best we can is what it's all about. Lorraine, our half hour is up, my friend. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Brenda. It's never enough time, and I'm always so thrilled to hang out with you, and thank you for all the amazing work that you're doing.
Oh, thank you, and ditto right back to you. So for anybody who would like to connect, check out the webcast for further details or visit LorraineCohen.com, and make sure you keep your calendar open for April 17th, 2016, and October 1st and 2nd, 2016 for the London and Toronto events. Bye for now. God bless you all, and let's keep in touch.
My team.